So the runoff show for tonight is each of the district attorney candidates, Brooke Jenkins, John Hamasaki, and Joe Veronese, are going to speak with their introductory remarks for 6 minutes. I'm going to put up a sign saying, stop, you have 1 minute left, and after 6 minutes, we will cut you off if you're not done. Then we'll go into question and answers, and each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the to a question, and each of you can respond. If the question is not addressed to you, please try to keep the remarks short if you can. Then after that, we will have 3 minute rebuttals or concluding remarks from each of them. Then we'll go into the community college. Community college candidates will have 3 minutes to speak, and then a brief Q&A. Okay, so I think we are ready to start. Our moderator is Sally Stevens. Sally is the president of Golden Gate Heights Neighborhood Association and a former animal control commissioner in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, candidates, for appearing. We're basically, if you have questions, people submitted questions when they registered for the event. And I have a collection of those. If you want to add a question, you can add it in the chat while the discussion goes on. And we'll try to keep an eye on that. If you know, a lot of the questions will probably be ones that will already be asked, but we'll, you know, just keep an eye on that too. So we're going to start, just go right into it. We'll start sort of alphabetically. John Hamasaki, do you want to go first?
I'd love to go first. Tell me when I can get started.
Right now.
Okay. Good evening, and thank you for having me here tonight. Again, my name is John Hamasaki, and I'm a candidate to be the next district attorney of San Francisco. Our city is in a crisis of mismanagement and corruption, led by a single administration with control over nearly every aspect of city government. Homelessness, crime, drug abuse, and mental health challenges on our street have increased under this administration, while our economy has faltered. That is why we need an independent district attorney, unafraid to tackle the difficult issues facing the city and take on the people in power who have been putting their own interests ahead of the rest of us. As an independent district attorney, I will answer only to you, the people of San Francisco. When elected, public safety will be my number one priority, but safety cannot exist without justice. I will bring justice to those stealing wages from working people, to those selling influence in City Hall. We can do justice by helping everyone in the criminal justice system succeed, by supporting victims' rights while ensuring that offenders have the opportunity at rehabilitation through job training, mental health treatment, and other proven ways to reduce crime. As a lawyer, I have 14 years of civil and criminal litigation experience. I've represented everyone from victims through offenders, and in each role, I brought independence and integrity to my work. I served 4 years on the San Francisco Police Commission, where I oversaw the U.S. Department of Justice reforms designed to bring SFPD into the 21st century policing. I also sat on a number of groups that helped develop really cutting edge and modern guidelines, manuals, and policies that the officers were required to follow around such kind of forward-thinking areas as interactions with the deaf and hard of hearing and interactions with LGBTQ, transgender, and gender-diverse individuals. Through doing that type of work, we really have set our police up to do the best they can with the best rules. And a lot of these rules have been adopted as best practices by other jurisdictions. I was the 2020 past president of the Asian American Bar Association, which is the second largest bar association, Asian Bar Association in America. We have a number of local luminaries, politicians that have come through there, such as David Chu and Jeff Adachi, Judge Victor Wong. And, you know, when I served was during 2020 and the start of the pandemic, and I really oversaw the rise of anti-Asian violence, dealt with it with our members, both locally and affinity members across the country. And as a victim of anti-Asian violence, of a pretty serious incident, I have dedicated myself to ending it. Some of my priorities include public safety. That's an obvious one, I think. But, you know, we really need to be smart about public safety by ensuring that we end recidivism. Recidivism is the biggest problem I think the criminal justice faces. People cycle into the system and cycle right back out with a conviction or probation, but not really set up with the tools to succeed and become a member of society. Because once a case gets to the prosecutor's office, the harm has generally already been done. So what we need to focus on is making sure that individual is set up so they don't harm again, so they don't, you know, violate our city. You know, the crisis in the Tenderloin is something that we all have to work together to tackle. There's, you know, both users and sellers. And for the users, I'd like to see increased treatments, options. And for the sellers, I think we need to have strong accountability with escalating consequences for repeat offenses. Working together, we can change the trajectory of San Francisco and give all our residents and visitors a better future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brooke Jenkins.
Yes, thank you, and good evening, everyone. As you may already know, I began my career in the San Francisco DA's office back in 2014. I had been a corporate lawyer for a number of years before that, and it was actually a personal tragedy that led me to want to find a greater purpose in serving my community and in connecting to community. And I really found that being an advocate and a voice for victims has fulfilled that purpose. Over the course of my experience in the DA's office, starting off as a volunteer in the misdemeanor unit, rising through felonies and being the designated hate crimes prosecutor, then handling rape and sexual child abuse cases in the sexual assault unit, as well as the homicide unit, you truly understand that the nature of this work at its core is serving our victims and protecting the public. And that is why when I went to the mayor and asked to be considered for this appointment, that it was critical to me that San Francisco have somebody with prosecutorial experience in the position of DA, who understood what it takes to do this work and to do it at the highest level, and also someone who didn't view this position as a political platform to something else, but was a true career prosecutor and dedicated to the mission of public safety in San Francisco. And that is what I have tried to fulfill over the last 8 weeks serving as San Francisco's district attorney. In the beginning of my tenure back in July, I felt it was absolutely necessary in order to restore accountability to the criminal justice system here to put in place a management team that had true prosecutorial experience. And so that was one of my first priorities, was to really overhaul the management team to make sure that we had experienced prosecutors at the helm who really embodied the balance that I believe we need to strike here in San Francisco, which is the need for increased equity and fairness in our system, a system that we know has disadvantaged people of color primarily in the past. And so moving forward with critical reforms, but at the same time, balancing the need for accountability and for justice for our victims. And so I have hired and assembled a team that is extremely diverse, that is more diverse than any management team that I've seen in the DA's office over my 8-year tenure. That is comprised of prosecutors who have over 100 years of experience combined. And we have hit the ground running, which was essential. We had to have prosecutors who knew the layout and the landscape of the criminal justice system and its players here in San Francisco. And we have advanced a number of policies already in order to make sure that we are addressing the main challenges that we're facing here in San Francisco. I announced right away that I wanted to review drug cases and the way that they were being handled under the previous administration so that we could make sure that we had accountability in that regard. And I've made sure now that a policy is in place to prevent the abuse of our collaborative courts by those who are selling deadly drugs like fentanyl, to make sure that those spots are reserved for those who truly need access to treatment resources. I have advanced the ball really in the way that we are holding these offenders accountable, even making sure that those who demonstrate an excessive risk to public safety at the outset of their cases are held in custody at the outset. And so we have filed multiple motions to detain in egregious fentanyl sales cases. We know that fentanyl has really changed the landscape of the way that we need to handle drug dealing in this city. It is killing way too many San Franciscans. And we have already seen the bench in San Francisco, the judges, really take ownership of public safety by granting several of those motions. And so that really demonstrates that even they recognize that this is a crisis point in San Francisco and that these sellers, some of them, present a substantial public safety risk. And so we are already taking great strides to correct and reverse some of the chaos that has been created by what was the effective decriminalization of drug sales in San Francisco. And one of the other main accomplishments and main focuses has been repeat and violent offenders, making sure that we are handling those cases in the proper way, that we are really looking at who presents the most significant danger in San Francisco, who are the first time offenders and those who need those second chances and need those even third chances for some of them, but and others who have decided that they're not going to stay on track and are going to continue to take advantage of people and of businesses in San Francisco and cause them to suffer. And so that to make sure that we're treating those two categories of people very differently. The other thing is to make sure that we are representing a true partnership with the agencies that we have to work with in this city. For far too long now, we have seen dissension. We have seen antagonism between the agencies that we need to advance the ball of public safety in San Francisco. No longer can we operate in a vacuum and not work with other leaders and other agencies in San Francisco. And so I have worked very hard to rebuild the relationship with SFPD to make sure that we are dedicated and united in our mission to pursue public safety in San Francisco. I have regular meetings with Chief Scott and others in the department to make sure that we are aligning ourselves in what the priorities are. The right hand has to know what the left hand is doing in this work, and it requires constant communication.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 6 minute. Joe Aliotto Veronese. If I said that wrong, I apologize.
Perfect, Sally. Don't worry about it. It happens all the time. Great. So I can start? Fantastic. Yes. Well, thank you all so much for having me here today. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the efforts that you all are putting into being a part of a San Francisco neighborhood and being a part of the change that needs to happen in San Francisco. I myself am a born and raised San Franciscan. I'm very proud of that. I don't say that as a sense of any sort of entitlement, but the reason I say that is because I have seen San Francisco in a better place. And most of the people that are on the board of this organization who have been here long enough and have also seen San Francisco in a better place. And as we've seen from the poll today in the Chronicle, at least 65% of the people agree with me on this one. My name is Joe Aliotto Veronese. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. At the age of 20, I decided to join a police academy because I wanted to be a part of the change that needed to happen in police departments when I saw what happened with the Rodney King incident. Upon graduating from college, I joined the San Francisco Police Department and patrolled in the four-car sector out at Company G, which is Richmond Police Station here in San Francisco. I was very proud to do that work. I was proud to be able to bring safety and security to people when they called 911 and they were in some of their most having some of their most desperate feelings of insecurity. That I brought great pride to me to be able to deliver that to people as a San Francisco police officer. Did that for 3 years and then began work for Terrence Hallinan's Progressive District Attorney's Office, where I worked for 5 years as a senior district attorney investigator, the youngest in the history of San Francisco. I also graduated at that time from University of San Francisco Law School, where I began my 22-year practice as a civil rights attorney. And for the last 21, 22 years, I have been a civil rights attorney here in San Francisco, representing real victims, victims against large corporations, $2 billion corporations, in some cases $6 billion corporations. And I have no problem. It is part of my DNA to fight for victims, to fight for people who have been disadvantaged and who need real leadership and who need a real fighter. And I've been doing that for the last 22 years successfully. Most of my cases are all contingency cases, which means I don't get paid until my client gets a victory of some sort. And I've taken on that fight for the last 22 years, and I'm going to take that fight to the DA's office when I become the next district attorney. After becoming a civil rights attorney, I was also part of the progressive Prop H Police Academy that came in under Mayor Newsom. And we began our criminal justice reform back in 2004 when I joined that commission. We were doing early warning system. I was a co-author of the early warning system and also the Veronese report, which is still read today in the police commission meetings, as Commissioner Hamasaki may remember, which brought transparency to the disciplinary process, which is something that, because of the rights of police officers, was very hard to fight for. I fought against the POA back then to get rid of the bad cops, which there were many in the police department back then. And I think our greatest efforts in achieving a diverse and amazing police department like we have here today is the great number of hirings that we began, 350 new police officers that we began in my tenure as a police commissioner back in 2004. And through attrition, I think that we have an amazing police department. Most of the time you see problems in our department today, and of course there are anecdotal incidents, it's because of a training issue, and I intend on standing by with the police officers that I worked with shoulder to shoulder back years ago to make sure that, one, they get the proper right training, that they are not doing things that they shouldn't be doing, like 5150 holds. That belongs to a medical clinician or a paramedic level firefighter or rescue captain. And I want to make sure that the people in the city and county of San Francisco get the best service possible from their police department. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with the good ones. The bad ones will be prosecuted, as they do not deserve to be police officers or to wear the badge that, like the badges I have behind me, which is the badges that I have so honorably wore over my career in service to the people of the city and county of San Francisco and the state of California. I was criminal justice commissioner for the state of California for 7 years under two governors, where I redirected millions and millions of dollars away from incarceration towards rehabilitation. I'm very proud of that work. And I also served as a San Francisco fire commissioner, where I worked tirelessly to make sure the fire department received the resources that it needed to take care of itself so that it could take care of the people of the city and county of San Francisco. In that work as fire commissioner, I mandated that the chief determine exactly how much money we were spending on the issue of addiction, homelessness, and mental health. And we found that at least 40% of the calls of the fire department. We spend about $3.5 billion a year here in San Francisco. I will crack down on bad cops, violent felons, and I will make sure that the city and county of San Francisco, that we hold our public officials accountable for every dollar that we spend that is part of the corruption that is currently occurring in San Francisco. And the people of the city and county of San Francisco deserve better. I decided to run for district attorney here in San Francisco because I saw that my 13-year-old kid wasn't getting the version of San Francisco that I received when I was growing up. And I believe strongly that every San Franciscan, whether you're on the left or you're the right or you're the center, this is not an issue of identity politics. This is an issue of being right versus wrong. We will crack down on the fentanyl dealers on day one. There is no reason our district attorney shouldn't be arresting those people today to protect the hundreds of people that are dying on the streets every day. Thank you for this opportunity, and I look forward to taking on some questions.
Thank you. This is a question for everyone. We can, again, sort of cycle through if you wish to answer, you don't have to. Start sort of alphabetically with Mr. Hamasaki. Property crime. It feels like we're awash in property crime. Graffiti everywhere. Everything's under lock and key at Walgreens because of shoplifting, car break-ins. These have a huge impact on people's quality of life. What will be your approach to handling property crimes, and will you prosecute graffiti cases?
Yes. So property crimes, you know, maybe to some of us that are lawyers, they may not seem like no big deal, but, you know, as somebody who's existed in the working class and had to make rent, getting your window busted out is not a joke. If you miss a day of work, having to fix it, you've lost $300 or $400 and you might have had something stolen. So we really need to take property crime and car break-ins seriously. The way to do that is for the police to, one, investigate the car break-in rings that buy and sell the items that are stolen. Because ultimately, there's buyers and there's sellers. The people on the ground that are stealing from cars, they sell them to organized rings. I think the last district attorney had a pretty huge bust of an international crime ring that was leasing items and sending them into shipping containers to be sold abroad. So we have to tackle it at the top and also tackle it at the street level. There was a crime strategies unit that was in place that helped with more long-term prosecution and investigations. I don't know the current status of that, but that's something we need to bring back and, you know, truly fund and support. As far as graffiti is a crime just like any other crime. If the police interact with somebody who's done graffiti, they can be arrested. They can be prosecuted. If it's a first-time offense, you know, there's a way to fix it and let the person move on with their life in a low-level case. If it happens again, then I think we need to get more serious and have more serious consequences. But, you know, I've represented people who have done it once and ended up for 20 hours scrubbing the sides of buildings. And I think they learned their lesson to respect the property in San Francisco.
D.A. Jenkins, do you wish to answer? You're on mute.
Yes, thank you. So what I'm trying to do right now is to alleviate the issues in our general felonies unit with caseloads, because really when you're a line prosecutor, one of the main issues you face is prioritization. And when you have a mix of property crime and violent crime, you tend to naturally and instinctively prioritize violent crime cases. And so what I've tried to do when I created the major crimes unit was to remove some of the more serious and violent cases off of the plates of our general felonies attorneys. Also, when we started the vulnerable victims unit, we removed a number of violent cases off of their plates so that they have more bandwidth to address and take more seriously the property crime cases. Because what we know is that that is what is most affecting the quality of life of most of our residents in San Francisco. And quite frankly, that's what's discouraging our tourists from coming here, right? When you have and hear these stories of suitcases being stolen out of cars and passports. You don't want to come to San Francisco, and we need to be protecting our economy. I did learn as I've gone around the city that graffiti is a major issue. I had no idea that at some point in time the graffiti program was terminated in our office. That is something that I think we need to bring back. When I was in misdemeanors, we had a program where if somebody was prosecuted for graffiti, that we didn't throw them in jail, of course, but they were obligated to complete community service to remove graffiti around the city. And so I've instructed the office that we need to rebuild that program. And I want to be clear, yes, we need to partner with San Francisco PD on many of these types of retail theft and other operations, auto burglary operations. And the crime strategies unit that was mentioned was actually disbanded by the prior district attorney when he started. And it was something that was a bit more effective in allowing joint operations between the SFPD and the DA's office. And so what I've tried to do is in some form or fashion, coordinate with them.
Thank you. Mr. Veronese, you're on mute too.
Thank you so much. One of the very first things I'll be doing as district attorney in San Francisco is putting up a ballot measure. I've already been talking to the members of the Board of Supervisors to depoliticize the police department. It's a critical function of criminal justice reform to do that. And one way to do that, the best way to do that, is to remove the appointment authority away from the mayor And put the appointment authority of the chief of police under the chief law enforcement officer of the city, and that's the district attorney. We are going to depoliticize the police department the moment I am there. We are also going to go after people who come to San Francisco to prey on people that are here, whether they're citizens of the cities, whether they're tourists, or whether they're just people visiting from the day from Marin or any outlying county. We are going to protect them as though they were one of our own. Now, the Chinese community has been attacked over the last 2 years, and we need to make sure that we send a signal from day one. Do not come to San Francisco to prey on our vulnerable people. Do not come to San Francisco to prey on our stores, which are the backbone, our small businesses are the backbone of this city. Do not come to San Francisco to prey on our properties, because you will be prosecuted here. Now, what does that mean? And it depends on the type of crime. But whether it's graffiti or stealing something from someone's house or terrorizing our small business community, or even for that matter, our chain businesses like the Walgreens, we're not going to tolerate that. But we have to have some sort of progressive discipline that meets the type of crime that is happening and that has a proven record of preventing those crimes from happening again. We're not going to be soft on these things to the extent that we don't have to be. And we're going to use all prosecutorial leverage in order to do that. And the misdemeanor division will be back in San Francisco, because what's happening down on Mission Street right now with the graffiti and what's happening with the crime and the victimization of people has to stop.
Thank you. This again is for everyone. Everybody always talks about repeat offenders, especially repeat violent offenders. What will you do to ensure diversion programs actually work, and how will you reduce rates, and will you also publish recidivism rates?
So let's be very clear. Violent crime is never acceptable. There's no reason to hurt another person. And when that happens, I think we have to use the full authority of the prosecutor's office to ensure that we have true public safety. So, you know, in doing that, however, there are ways to end the cycle of violence, end the cycle of recidivism, end the cycle of the revolving doors of the jailhouse. And that's through setting up people through whatever programs are going to work that are going to help them break the cycle of violence. Because, you know, we've done it the interim district attorney's way for many years now. Lock them up, get the conviction, put them in prison. Everybody gets out. Everybody comes home. We have to give people the tools to survive when they come home. Because again, even if we lock them up for 2 years, they come home, they don't have the tools, they don't have the money, they don't have the stability. There's a pretty good chance they're going back into crime. And so, you know, really acknowledging that we can make a difference in the prosecutor's office in how the future looks for San Francisco, right? If we stop one crime from happening by helping set up one person to succeed, teaching them the ways that they don't want to go down, then there's no crime in the future. I mean, that's the best form of public safety, is absolutely no crime. Then we don't have to spend all of the resources on police solving all these crimes. And so we have more money to go back into programming, into going back into social servicing, into going back into housing and supporting individuals. But if you're going to do a violent crime in San Francisco, you're going to have to pay the price. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, violent crime is something that should absolutely be taken seriously. And what I've done is to try to correct the issue of that was created in the prior administration of not taking into account someone's previous history. You have to look and see, has somebody demonstrated a violent history in the past, which predicts sort of how we need to assess the risk that they pose in the future. Every case needs to be handled on an individualized basis, and we need to make sure that there's accountability. But one thing I've been clear about is that accountability comes in many different forms. And as a prosecutor, I know firsthand what those opportunities and ways are, what the programs are that have proven effective. For some of our offenders, it means you have to go to inpatient mental health treatment for a year, maybe even two. For some of them, it is going into another type of residential program where they get life skills training, vocational training, therapy for past trauma to make sure that we are equipping them to reintegrate back into society in a pro-social way, but in a manner that is responsible, is supervised, and promotes accountability. For some of our more dangerous offenders who have demonstrated a level of risk that simply can't be tolerated in San Francisco, it may be that they require incarceration. We have rapists, we have murderers, we have people who have demonstrated a history of repeated violent attacks in our city. And so they have to be handled in a particular way, but we have to take an individualized approach to assessing how we treat each and every individual case, because every single case and every person and offender is very, very different. And so that is what we are trying to do in San Francisco, is make sure that we are taking advantage of these alternatives to incarceration that have proven effective. We have a number of collaborative courts that have proven effective. One is our young adult court, which is for our youthful offenders ages 18 to 25, where we can, again, have them have a caseworker and somebody who actually assesses what it takes to get their lives back on track. But we have to have certainly accountability for serious.
Thank you.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, it's about recidivism. What would you do to ensure that diversion programs actually work? How will you reduce recidivism rates, and will you publish recidivism rates?
Listen, I think transparency is at the core of is our duty as public officials, and so absolutely all statistics should be published so that they can be analyzed by the public and so that we can be criticized. I think that's an important part of the First Amendment, is to be able to criticize and challenge your public officials. I would say this about the diversion program. I was part of Terrence Hallinan's diversion program. I worked very closely with the Hallinan administration back in the 90s on one of the very first diversion programs in the DA's office. Our criminal justice system is broken today. So when people say the criminal justice system needs to be reformed, it absolutely needs to be reformed. We are dealing with laws that are decades old, and in some cases many decades old. We're dealing with cash bail that inherently discriminates against people. The criminal justice system preys on people of color, and it has been oppressing people of color for years. So we need to legislate change from the very beginning. The people, the city and county of San Francisco, they deserve a 21st century criminal justice system, one that looks at the various programs, whether it's a diversion program or an ankle bracelet program, or some sort of restitution program. That program has to serve the person that is it's being subjected to. And when I say it's serving them by making sure they don't end up back into our system. But it's bigger than that. We have to hold our public officials accountable. We have to hold the mayor's office and the Department of Health accountable for the mental health and addiction crisis that is happening on our streets in San Francisco. Because while those aren't crimes necessarily, they may end up creating victims. And we see those all the time. When I walked with my kid on Market Street, we saw an individual that was sticking a needle into a tree. And my kid turned to me and said, "What's to prevent that man who's out of his mind from sticking that needle into us?" And I said, "You know, son, that stuff does happen. And we have to hold our officials accountable for it."
Thank you. DA Jenkins, you asked Assistant DA Nancy Tong to review a certain set of previous cases to see if they were properly charged and to determine if new charges should be brought. Will that review include all of the anti-Asian hate crimes in San Francisco from the beginning of January 2020 up to the time you became DA? And many of those crimes included brutal attacks, assaults, stabbings, shootings, killings, and murders.
Yes, and that is what I have promised the public, is that we are conducting that review, and it actually is almost complete. I actually have a meeting with Nancy coming up soon to discuss the results of that review, but absolutely I assured the public at a town hall in Chinatown that we will be reviewing all of the cases that we identify dating back to 2020, the beginning of the prior administration, to see whether or not they've been appropriately charged.
And will you make the results of the review public? We'll let people know what you decided about them, or is it just that people will either see a new charge or not?
No, yes, absolutely. I know that that is something that the public is waiting to hear. And so it is something that we will designate a time to discuss with the public about so that they are, you know, clear on what the results were and really whether or not, you know, we were able to change or add charges in certain cases or the reasons why we have not been able to.
This question is for both Mr. Hamasaki and Veronese. The main duty of a DA is to manage a team of prosecutors. And one of the criticisms of Chesa Boudin was that he had no experience as a prosecutor before becoming DA. What is your experience prosecuting cases in court, and how can you effectively manage a team of prosecutors if you don't have experience as a prosecutor? So, Mr. Hamasaki, do you want to take that first?
Sure. May I comment on the last statement by the interim district attorney?
Sure. You can finish out your 2 minutes on that, and then if Mr. Veronese, if you want to respond to that, you can, and then you get a new 2 minutes for the question I just asked.
Thank you. So, you know, I appreciate the vigor with which the interim district attorney brought to the issue of anti-Asian violence on the campaign trail as she's been campaigning. Over the past 2 years, she blamed the previous district attorney and said hate crimes should be brought. This charge, this case deserves hate crimes. And since she's been in office, no hate crimes have been filed. And we've had issues where elderly commissioner was attacked and he has been demanding that they file charges. Now, I'm not in the room. I haven't seen the evidence, but what we have is a long history of campaign promises that you are going to take anti-Asian violence seriously. And, you know, this is why people are still scared. They don't believe somebody. They believe that the press releases and the photo ops are fine, but let's see some action. Let's see some movement. Let's, you know, my dad is 93 and he's out here and for the summer and, you know, he's seen everything on TV and he's never been a scared person. And he said, you know, is it safe to go into San Francisco? I said, you know, I can't guarantee it. I think you're probably at a higher risk because you're an elder and an Asian, but you know, we should still go and I'll go with you. But you know, it's not enough to just talk about it. You have to back those words up with action. Thank you.
Mr. Veronese, do you want to respond to that or talk about that?
Yeah. Thank you, Sally. On the issue of Asian hate, there is no question that over the last 2 years, there have been certain individuals that have been coming into San Francisco to prey on elderly Asian people because they're vulnerable state. There is no question about it. Most of these incidents have been videotaped. And so they've become brazen about it. Unlike, you know, not unlike the brazenness of those thugs that stole the catalytic converter from a police vehicle just this week. The brazenness of people coming into this city to commit crime because of vulnerabilities that they are seeing is absolutely unacceptable. And that has to stop. Now, speaking to the issue of hate crime, I have been proving racial animus in civil courts all over this country for the last 20 years. It is difficult when you start doing that work. Sure, if you don't have a smoking gun like a noose or a swastika or something like that, that believe it or not, some cases do have that stuff. But when you don't have a smoking gun, you can still prove a case. I've been doing it for 22 years. There is no reason why the Mr. Chen case or the Mr. Chu case or the Ms. Wren case, which everybody in San Francisco practically saw, should not have been charged as a hate crime. The Asian community is afraid today because of the cowardice of this district attorney's office to bring those charges, or inexperience, or however else it can be explained, but it needs to be charged. This DA should not be taking anything off the table to keep the people of the city and county of San Francisco safe, and you should be going after those thugs that are coming into San Francisco to prey on our vulnerable. That should be priority number one. We should be seeing press conferences about people being captured in the East Bay who have been coming to San Francisco to do this, and less press conferences about policies that aren't coming, that never come to fruition or are just political plays.
Thank you. And now, Mr. Hamasaki, do you want to discuss the issue of what experience you have as a prosecutor and how can you manage a team of prosecutors if you don't have it?
So the question is accurate in the sense that I've never been a line prosecutor like the interim district attorney. And I think, you know, when it comes to a line prosecutor, the person that goes into court every day and makes an offer or handles discovery, you know, unfortunately, the district attorney hasn't been particularly good there. If we want to judge a prosecutor, her record is pretty clear. She's had ethical issues in not turning over discovery. All of her cases had to be reviewed by the office because in a very serious case where various serious constitutional issues were on the line, she decided that she was going to gain an advantage by holding on to some of the discovery. Now, that's not the end of it. She was videotaped in another case coaching a child witness, and it was videotaped by an investigator, and the case was dismissed. I'm sorry, the client was acquitted, which means either she knew there was an innocent man and she coached the child to try to convict him, or she thought, actually believed that the individual was guilty and still crossed the line in coaching a child witness to testify in her favor. So that's the type of experience I don't think we're looking for. What we're looking for is leadership. And in every organization and every body that I've been a part of, the membership has chosen me as the leader, whether it's the Asian American Bar Association, the second largest bar association in the country, the Barristers Club of the Bar Association of San Francisco, with over 2,000 members, which is one of the largest under 10 years of practice bar associations in the country. I was president of that as well. I was also on the board of governors for the California Attorneys of Criminal Justice. And in each of these roles, I've been put in the role of leadership because, like a DA's office, I know how to lead.
Thank you. Mr. Vernacci?
Yeah, so on the issue of my experience as an attorney, for the last 21, 22 years, I have been a civil rights attorney. We have had cases throughout this country in Texas, in California, throughout California, and I have tried cases in front of juries. Now, there's a lot of mystery about being a prosecutor or not being a prosecutor or being a public defender. At the end of the day, we're all certified by the state bar to practice law. That's what qualifies us to practice in the state of California, not some sort of history of being thrown off of cases or prosecuting cases or whatever history there is. That's not what qualifies us to practice law in California. The state bar does. I've been doing that for 22 years. I've been doing it with racial animus cases for at least that amount of time, and I've been doing it successfully. I have had my own practice. I also have a family practice where I manage lawyers, and I've been doing that for a very long time as well. But here's the bottom line here. There's no mystery about what the job of the district attorney is. The job of the district attorney is to be the chief law enforcement officer of San Francisco, to lead criminal justice policy. And I can tell you this, as a district attorney, I am also very concerned about the rights of victims, and I am very concerned about the rights of the accused. I believe the accused have rights. Our Constitution demands that the accused have rights, but you need a vigorous prosecutor that is unwilling to take tools off the table in order to come to a solution that keeps the people of the city and county of San Francisco safe. Now, I can tell you I will do that as the district attorney, but one thing I will do is that one thing I will take off the table is I do not believe that a district attorney should use his influence as an elected official in the courtroom against the accused. I believe that's a violation of somebody's civil rights, and I will not do it as a district attorney, but I will lead this office to a safer San Francisco and to a city that we all deserve, the city that I grew up in and the city that everybody in this room deserves as well.
Thank you. DA Jenkins?
Thank you. Yes, and I want to make clear first and foremost, never have I ever been found to have committed misconduct in a case. Lots of accusations get hurled around in the Hall of Justice that doesn't make them true. And so that is one thing I will stand up for is my reputation, which is unchallenged in that courthouse. The second thing is I think we just saw a demonstration of when somebody has a lack of prosecutorial experience, how it presents a problem. I have never said that hate crimes are something I can just go in and charge. I've actually made it very clear, even when I spoke about the prior administration, that hate crimes are very difficult to charge. I was a designated hate crimes prosecutor for almost 2 years in this city. It is one of the only crimes that requires proof of motive. You have to prove what motivated the action. It requires motive that was hateful. And so that is something that is a true challenge for us as prosecutors. And I've never come in and promised to charge hate crimes in every single case. As a matter of fact, what we have an obligation to do as prosecutors is follow the law. You have to make sure that when you charge a case, you can prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that the person is guilty of that charge. And never should you make a promise without having viewed that evidence of what the charges should be. And so that is the danger in having individuals who have no prosecutorial experience, is that they make comments like we just heard without having any understanding of the very laws that they're talking about enforcing. We have to be very careful that the people who sit in this position know what it takes to do this job, know how to do it correctly, understand the law and what requirements we have under the law as prosecutors, and can do it effectively. And that is something that I've done for the last 8 years in this city, is prosecute crime. I'm one of the fastest rising assistant DAs that have ever come through that office, making it into the homicide unit in 5.5 years. I was promoted by my predecessor, which speaks volumes to what he believed my reputation was.
Thank you. Thank you. Frank, do we have time for one more question, or should we go to the summaries?
I think we have time for one more question.
Okay. With the issue of homelessness, mental illness, drug addiction, open-air drug markets, tent encampments, people with mental health issues, what will you do specifically?
Excuse me, Sally. Sally, I think I'm wrong.
Okay.
I think we should go to the concluding remarks. My apologies.
Okay. We can go to closing remarks. So, again, we'll do it alphabetically. Mr. Hamasaki.
Thank you. And I'd really like to thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight, for listening to us, to my opponents for joining in this tonight. You know, really, these discussions that we're having are going to impact the future of San Francisco. But the future of San Francisco, it's lied with one administration, and that's the interim district attorney's appointing agency. Now, that may not be a problem in certain circumstances, but what we've seen here is a district attorney's office that is being run by the mayor from the first day, sending her aides in to, I don't know the word, but in with Ms. Jenkins. She recently hired one of the mayor's top policy people. Okay, maybe you need some policy, but this guy has zero experience in criminal justice, zero experience in policing, but was put in the office to make sure the wills of the mayor were carried out through the office. Now, that's not clean government. That's corruption. That's one-party rule and letting the one mayor control every aspect of city government. Now, you know, we see this in the decisions of this district attorney. Her catchy five strikes and you're out matches the mayor's speech in December. It seems like we have a political office in probably the last place a political office should be. We need to have independence. We need to have somebody in there who is only looking out for the people of San Francisco, not looking out for the people in City Hall and in the mayor's office. You know, as we all know, unfortunately, this mayor's office has been engulfed in corruption. There's been 10 individuals indicted, imprisoned, removed from office, are still facing charges. And in this network, the mayor appointed the district attorney, the person who would normally be prosecuting these people. So we need real safety in San Francisco. We need an independent district attorney in San Francisco. We need to break up the machine of corruption and self-dealing that has ripped the city apart and led to the conditions on the street. Because ultimately, the things that we mentioned, homelessness, substance abuse, mental health, those may intersect with the criminal justice system, but the responsibility lies squarely in City Hall. So we need a change. Together we can do it. I'm here for you. I'm here for the people of San Francisco. Thank you.
Thank you. DA Jenkins?
Thank you. And, you know, what I can say is that I've been dedicated to public safety in San Francisco over the last 8 years, and I have a demonstrated track record of doing what's best, not only for public safety and for our victims, but also being fair and equitable to those who have committed crime in San Francisco. We as a DA's office have to move forward with experience. That is the only way we're going to get San Francisco back on track. We can no longer suffer through having an administration that doesn't know what they're doing and has never done this function. And quite honestly, doesn't even know the law. And it has been really troubling tonight to hear people try to answer questions without actually advancing or being able to articulate a true policy that they believe will address the concerns of San Francisco. And I think that is truly because they have never done this work. It is also troubling to hear a candidate refer to Black men as thugs. I cannot believe that I have heard that tonight, and that is something that I find quite offensive. It's a term that I don't think should be used, certainly not in this line of work, where we need to remember that those who offend and commit crime in this city are still people. They are human beings, and they should be treated with respect as well. And so I really think that we are at a critical point now where we cannot move the ball backwards. I know what it's like to work for an administration who has not been historically committed to public safety and just wasn't equipped, even if the desire was there to advance public safety in San Francisco due to a lack of experience. I'm the one person that San Francisco can rely on to do this work and to do it properly and to make sure that the wheels of justice are turning, and who is willing not to be antagonistic with the other agencies in this city that we need to partner with in order to get this job done. And so I urge the voters to really press the other candidates on what exactly is your platform. What exactly are you going to do to improve the state of conditions in San Francisco? Not simply attack, but explain and outline what your policies will be. Because I have made mine very clear. I've announced them one by one in a very thoughtful manner that has included the community in many of these discussions, so that we are advancing public safety as well as making sure that we're advancing reforms and ensuring that this system becomes more fair. That is the balance that San Francisco deserves, and that is the one that I'm delivering to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Veronese?
Let's be clear about something. At no point here did I refer to anybody's race when I mentioned a thug. A thug is somebody who comes and preys on somebody who else was vulnerable in a criminal way. And that's exactly what's happened in the Wren case. That's exactly what's happening throughout the city and county of San Francisco. And race has nothing to do with it. The DA's office shouldn't be prosecuting somebody based on their class. They should be prosecuting people based on their activity and the things that they have done. And that's what I intend on doing as district attorney in San Francisco. Let's also be clear about something. This DA, this interim DA that's been appointed, when you want to get an idea of what they're going to do in the future, you take a look at what they've done in the past. She's represented the insurance industry for many, many years before she became a district attorney. And that was to make sure that claims were not being paid out. The real victims in those cases are the public. They're the people who actually pay for those insurance policies. So I have actually demonstrated a history of fighting for victims, fighting for people who didn't have a voice. And that's what I've done for the last 22 years. That's what I will do as district attorney in San Francisco. On the issue of hate crime, anybody could look up a definition of hate crime. All you have to do is Google it. It's a crime that is motivated by somebody's protected class. And in this case, a hate crime has been motivated by Ms. Wren's protected class, which is her being an elderly person and being a person of Asian descent. So yeah, I have no problem charging a hate crime in that case because it's evident from the video that that is the case. And you don't always need a smoking gun to charge it. And I would charge it in that particular case. This DA, because of her inexperience, is not able to charge it. Her inexperience of being able to prove racial animus in the courts, which I have been doing. And that's why the Asian community is feeling vulnerable today. And that is why she needs to be replaced as district attorney. Now, we all have an important choice to make on November 8th. And that choice is that we can continue on with the administration that we currently have, or we can fight for a San Francisco that we all deserve. Now, when you leave your house in the morning, when you walk down the street, when you see the mental health crisis that's happening on the street, the addiction that's happening on the street, when you talk to the small businesses that are afraid to open their doors in the morning because they're afraid to come to a broken window, or they're afraid to come back to their cars, which have a broken window. That is victimization that is happening all over the city and county of San Francisco. You need a strong DA to stop that, and I intend on being a strong DA. We will reform the criminal justice system from the inside through the legislative process. I know many people in Sacramento and work very closely with them to make sure that we get that done, and that has to be done through the legislative process. I can tell you one thing. In the first 60 days of my administration, you will feel safer. This DA has had that chance. Do you feel safer? Ask yourself that question.
Thank you, all three of you, very much. And this is important. And, you know, I hope that people will, you know, do their research and look into positions and policies and that sort of thing when, and make informed decisions in November. But thank you all for coming.